another edition of the CJ McCollum Show. I am currently recording live in New York City. Bags are just dropped off, and we're in the midst of a road trip. Did we take care of business at home? We kind of took care of business at home. We're at that point in the season where you start to forget, you know, what's happening. You're tired.
One,
you're
two
sleepy.
Straight.
One, two straight. Straight. We just beat the Clippers.
Yeah. Right?
And then we beat the back-to-back Portland Trailblazers. There it is. Yes. I played in those games.
This is how you know, right?
I played in both of those games.
You create some more separation from, that middle of the pack. Like the Suns and Mavs and Kings are practically in a virtual tie. And, you know, you're 2.5 games ahead of them. So want to keep that distance.
We're in a really good spot. We got control of our own destiny. We're 6 games behind first place. I think right now it's just about controlling our controllables. I say that all the time, but these teams around us are very good. Like, everybody is good enough to compete in the playoffs, win in the playoffs. And I think for us, it's about avoiding the playing game and winning the games you're supposed to win. I think that is so important throughout the season. I think it doesn't get said enough. Like, being able to beat teams under 500 is really, really important. It shows that you're professional. Shows that you're approaching the game the right way, and it shows that you're locked in, and then competing at a high level against good teams. I think that's the sign of you gearing up for the playoffs, getting that game plan discipline. And we got some really tough games coming up, so it's important that we beat the likes of the Portland Trailblazers and teams that are under 500 or not in position to make the playoffs. Like, those are games you have to have, because Dallas, Sacramento, the Clippers, Phoenix. Like,
here's the thing, though. The Clippers, you're game back of the Clippers. And they're kind of in a free fall identity crisis right now at the wrong time. You guys are figuring things out at the right time. And that's a matter of home court, essentially. Have you guys talked about that?
We haven't. I think we
really are, like, legitimately, because I know people say that, I was talking to Michael Malone and he was like, we don't care about getting the one seed. But like, you really no one has brought that up.
No, and I think to his point, like, they don't care about the one seed because they won it last year. Were they the one seed? I don't know.
Okay, so maybe that's a different scenario for you guys.
They
were the one seed.
But I think that they're at the point where they're like, we already know what it takes to win, and we're comfortable with playing on the road. I think for us, it's like two things, right? We're a young team, so talking about certain things is too much pressure, I think, at times, and it takes away from the joy of just going and competing in the game. Like, you obviously know the stakes are high. You know if you lose too many in a row, you're getting passed up. But I think it's just about the work, like, focus on the work. We have talked about the playoffs, and we continue to talk about the playoffs. And I specifically bring up 50 wins all the time because, like, that's the mark of a good team. Being able to win 50 games is not easy in this league, especially in the West, especially with a young team, especially for a franchise that hasn't done it that often. That's a real accomplishment. That gives us a chance to hang a banner. We have no banners, right? We'll be able to, win our Southwest division or whatever it's called. And
I love the fact that you have no idea.
Yeah, and I think
you just play the games.
I just be hooping. And I think the cool part is we don't really care 4 versus 5. We want our fans to be able to see home games in the playoffs, and we'd love to be able to get that 4 seed. But we haven't talked about it because our reality is whether we 4, 5, or 6, we don't have to play in a playing game. And that's what we specifically are speaking about. Like, we do not want to play in this game. We want to be able to rest.
Yeah.
We want to be able to work on stuff in practice. We want to be able to watch these teams compete and be tired and have to get on a plane and fly back and forth like we did. And I think for us, it's like, that's definitely within reach. You can see it. Like, we all check the standings, we can see it, but we don't really discuss it because it's like, we can't control if the Clippers win or lose games. Like, we have no control over that. Mm-hmm. Besides when we played them and we beat them head-to-head, which is what we needed to do in case there's a tie down the stretch. We can't control if Dallas wins games or Sacramento or Phoenix or Golden State, but we do play all those teams again. So we can control that game in terms of effort and approach, but the rest of the schedule has to be played out. And for us, it's just about going and playing your schedule. And we really have been like that. And I think for Malone, their situation is completely different because they've already proven that they can go win a championship because they did it. So it's like, one or two, who cares? Like, as long as Joker's healthy, as long as Jamal's healthy, as long as their guys are healthy, like, they like their chances. And I think for us, it's like, we haven't been healthy in these moments. So let's get used to playing this late into a season together. Let's build on some stuff, figure out how we want to play down the stretch of games, how we want to play in half court, sets, rotations, and then get ready for the playoffs once you get there.
Yeah. All right. I mean, look, I do believe them when they say that, you know, it's not the main focus, that they're not, you know, they like by all means they need the one seed, the Nuggets, that is.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you are into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
But I do feel like they are telling each other to flip a switch a little bit right now post All-Star break, because, you know, aside from their, I mean, they've lost two games since the All-Star break, one being, you know, on Sunday, that miraculous Kyrie shot. Before we get into the delay that happened between the Warriors and Lakers, let's talk a little bit about what happened with that Kyrie shot. I was there courtside, and there's so much that you could break down that play. I mean, a lefty floater. Ryan Rucco had a great call. He said a southpaw finish, and he, like, it was beautiful. And as your former teammate, Damian Lillard, put, Siri, no one's talking to you. He said that Kyrie is the most talented player that he's seen. What did you think of the shot? And do you agree with what Dame tweeted?
Yeah, I watched it like 10 times, and just like the poetry of it, you know, how they start playing music yes. with the actual play. First, I thought about like what I would do in that situation, right? Catch the ball, coming off the screen, 2 seconds left, Joker closes out. He takes the hesitation dribble. His eyes go up, head goes up, ball goes up, hezzy. He brings the hand close like he's about to shoot it, takes another dribble, picks up his dribble at like 24 feet, gathers and shoots a 21 foot floater. You call it 18 to 21 feet. Mm-hmm. Half hook floater. So it's not like in front of his face. It's like side-ish.
Yes.
Over Joker's hand. Clean make. Not like a lucky banked it in or whatever. Clean make.
He said my left was open, so I went. I shot it with my left. By the way, I got to correct myself. Dame said Kyrie's the most skilled MF-er ever.
Yeah, and I think me, Kyrie, but no, seriously, Kyrie's skill set is something that I think all players study, all players watch, all kids should study and watch, because, I mean, he talked about it. He's not a huge guard. He's not like crazy athletic. Obviously, he has athleticism. He has footwork, speed, quick twitch, handle, creativity, three-level scorer, shot maker, ridiculous left hand, right hand. I think he might actually write left-handed. He talked about how when he was in the Catholic school, they used to whoop him for using his left hand. And
I don't know why I laughed there. That's kind of terrible.
Just wild, right?
Yeah, but it's wild.
He is just so skilled and so creative. And I think a lot of it is, like you said before, continuing to be a student of the game. Like he said, he's not too good to study other people's moves. He's not too good to steal moves. Mm-hmm. He's going to go home and watch YouTube. Obviously, break his fast, and Trey said,
by the way,
he did this on an empty stomach.
He's fasting during, yes. No, not just an empty stomach. No, he didn't drink a sip of water, Gatorade, whatever. Could you ever imagine doing that?
No. I mean, I could do it if I really had to. You know, from a discipline standpoint, I think you train your mind, you train your body. And I don't think this is the first time he's done it. So he's he's built an ability to kind of withstand it. It's like, I'm not gonna compare it to like going in the IS tub or anything like that, because this is more, you know, important in terms of culture and religion, all those things that kind of go into it. But as you do something over and over again, your mind and your body get more used to it. Not that it makes it easier, but your body becomes more accustomed to it. I could do it if I had to, mm-hmm. but to do it during a game, during an important game, during a playoff push, mm-hmm. and still be focused mentally, I think that's the hardest part, like to be mentally focused and engaged, to have energy. He did that on an empty stomach, and somebody joked, he's not fasting because he ate the nuggets.
That's good.
I thought that was funny. Yeah,
props to whoever said that.
Somebody's dad or mom joke.
I don't know, but that finish was crazy because they gave up a 13-point lead with 6 minutes to go. And so it almost felt like, all right, you know, here come the Nuggets, the most clutch time wins in the NBA. But Dallas, I don't know if many people understand that they've been amazing in the clutch. Him, Kyrie, and Luka, like, for all of the complaints that, there's not going to be enough ball to go around, like, they're the highest scoring duo in the NBA, and they've figured something out between those two. Like, and I spoke with Kyrie before the game, and he goes, yeah, like, when you fail on a national stage, like we did last year during the playoffs, where we were playing you go, I go, it kind of wakes you up. And we had a training camp together, and I just feel like we have just this, you know, respect for each other, where it helps us kind of understand the flow, specifically at the end of game. I mean, Luka's shot to tie the game was absurd. And then on top of that, you had Kyrie, make the shot that he made. And of course, Jamal in between all of that. But like that, I mean, like that duo, you can see that magic working. Like they are clicking. They really do enjoy each other. They really do enjoy playing with each other. It's just about finding, you know, do they have enough to ultimately go the distance? But they're going to be fun to watch in the playoffs, because the talent is through the roof.
I absolutely agree. And I think if you look at where the standings are right now, you look at the Dallas Mavericks, let's start with them. You talk about Kyrie, Luka, them potentially being in a one-game elimination situation where they have to win in a playoff against the Phoenix Suns, who have arguably the best duo trio in the league in Book, KD, Beal. We're getting must-see TV. This is like NBA dream come true, where you have all these stars competing for a spot in the playoffs. We haven't even talked about Steph, LeBron, and them potentially matching up in a play-in game. But to go back to your earlier point on them meshing, the respect, the training camp, the fluidity, midseason trade, all those things have played a factor in growth in their roles and their ability to be able to sacrifice. Figuring out who's going to take shots down the stretch is sacrifice. Also, matchups. Also, Luka's probably getting doubled. Kyrie is one of the greatest players to ever touch a basketball. He should have been top 75. Skill set, poise down the stretch of games, ability to score, hit big shots. You know, everybody remembers the shot he hit when he was in Cleveland, you know, side step over Steph. Like, the man is a wizard, like, with the basketball in his hands. He's so creative. I study a lot of his footwork. I study a lot of his setup moves, his pull-ups, the floaters, the finishes. It's like, if you could build a creative basketball player in terms of skill set, you would be like, all right, give me, like, Paul George's height, give me Kyrie's this, give me Kyrie's that, give me Kyrie's this, give me Kyrie's that, give me Bron, give me Steph's this. Like, you would pick apart certain parts of players' games, but I would venture to say that everybody would list Kyrie as one of the most skilled, if not the most skilled, basketball player to ever touch a ball.
So are you okay? I actually asked this to Jason Kidd pregame, because we were, you know, he was talking a lot of just about how there are things that Kyrie does in practice or in games where it leaves him speechless. And even RJ was saying that on the broadcast, and in, you know, winning a championship with him, there are things that Kyrie does that he's never seen any other player do. So I think there's just like this consensus among players that Kyrie is just one of those players who, like, other basketball players are fans of. But I asked Jason Kidd, I said, which one, if you had to choose, because you just said, if you're going to make a player, like, I'm going to take this of Kyrie's and this of, you know, Steph's, Which one would you take more, Kyrie's handle or Kyrie's finishing ability?
For me personally or like in general? Because I can shoot.
I mean, if you're making your...
No, I can like, shoot, but like I can't
finishing,
like
finishing.
Give me the finishing because I'm already a career 40% 3-point shooter.
Not you. Well, I'm not saying to add to your game, CJ.
Give me the Kyrie.
I'm not that disrespectful. I'm talking about you're saying you're making a guy. You're making a player.
If you're building a player, I would say, as a guy who knows how to shoot, you can train shooting. So like you might not be able to ever become a Steph Curry, but you can become like a pretty good shooter. It's hard to finish in the paint. Mm-hmm. With 7-footers when you're not tall. Like, that is, you can't really train that. Like, you can train, like, finishing or whatever, but you can't, like, for him to do a left-hand floater and be comfortable with it, like, how many guys, his post players who
like
are
he like, said they practice that. Like, that's what they practice. A left-handed floater from 20 feet out.
Larry looked at me and was like, I don't like using my left hand in the paint. like Stop. That's, like, it's joking, but, like, you get my point. Like, that's how skilled he is to where it's like, his mind takes over and he's like, oh, my right hand's left hand. Like, just the reaction of it and the ability to adapt and just go to that is insane. But I mean, shooting is the ultimate equalizer. Like, you cannot be able to do anything, but if you can shoot, there's room for you somewhere on some team, whether that's professionally or not. Like, high school team can't do anything, can shoot, gotta play you, gotta guard you, gotta respect you. So I think as a guy who's trained and trained a lot of kids, get your shooting down, get your handle down, get your finishing down, but shooting is a thing that I feel like you can rep out and get good at. As a guy who's seen so many kids, that's something that you can train specifically, and like anybody can shoot. Like, I could teach a person who's never played basketball before how to shoot, but I can't teach them how to have touch around the basket. Like, that's just, some of it is God-given, some of it is working towards it and honing on that skill, but that's something that just doesn't come. Like, how many guys you know can just... you don't see that, but you see a lot of guys that can shoot in the league and a lot of women that can shoot in the W and in college basketball as well.
Another final cap tip to Kyrie. You mentioned it, just like the sacrifice it takes to play with another star. I think like Kyrie's this is something Jason also wanted to praise pregame, just his ability to play with great players. He's shown that in the past, where he, you know, can still be at the peak of his powers, but also be able to like make the right plays to uplift Luka, who is having a historic season, which is, you know, like every day and every year for Luka. But that's another reason why it's like it's working between them, and I see it. I mean, I've had a lot of Mavs games, and I'm sitting down with Luka and asking him about Kyrie, and there's a huge smile on his face, and you saw his reaction after that buzzer. He was like, he couldn't even believe it. Exactly, like summing up, you know, players' thoughts on Kyrie. It was an unbelievable atmosphere, and it felt like the playoffs already. Because, you know, I think there was a desperation the Mavs were felt that they're having. The Nuggets came in with the confidence of the defending champs rolling. That would be a very, very fun, playoff series to watch. And, you know, this is the time of year that Kyrie kind of like turns on his like full motors. Like he is a playoff player. You know, we didn't get to see that much of his powers, obviously, with the Nets. And then, you know, last year was a hard situation for the two of them, you know, coming midseason. So, again, I think they're going to be a really fun, interesting team to watch in the playoffs. Obviously, they got a lot of star power. Saturday night had a lot of star power between the Warriors and Lakers. Even though one of the bigger stars, left the game in Anthony Davis with that eye abrasion. But really what the biggest like headline from that game was the 20-minute stoppage. Like, did you watch that game?
I didn't watch it, but I watched the recap of it and just seeing people complaining about how long everything was taking. And I think we've had some issues with that throughout the season. Would you agree?
Yes. Yes. But never so many things happening at one time. Like two reviews and then like four times that you guys don't figure out what's going on with the clock. It was like a comedy of errors. And I don't know who to point to. Because like you have to get it right. But I mean, and the fact that it happened to like you're like as LeBron walked over to Doris, JJ, and Mike, like I'm too old for this. Like you have it, and he had a 40-point game on top of that. Yeah, I don't like he said it. Obviously, you know, LeBron said post game it obviously messed with our rhythm, but you know, got to get it right. It was just an unfortunate thing to have on a ABC Saturday night primetime game between you know. When it was actually a pretty good battle, especially since we saw the last time those two played, it was like probably the game of the year.
Yeah, it was a really good game, and I got to catch the highlights of it, seeing the back and forth. It's always fun to see Bron and Steph compete at a high level. You know, two storied franchises, obviously the Lakers' history and the Warriors' dynasty run that they've had the last 12 years, basically. It's really cool to see that, but we've talked about it throughout the year. The stoppage has been a lot for us. The reviews are great because it gives us a chance to have more opportunities to get things right. Every possession is mattering in the league right now with the disparity in how close each team is in the standings and the importance of each game, each possession. Us doing a challenge in the first quarter against the Clippers because we understand that like this could come down to one or two possessions. Like it really matters, but we got to be able to get things done quicker, turn things around faster, and not put our athletes in position to have to wait and not put our fans in position to just be sitting there idle, fans at home, fans at the actual games. Like, what do you do for 20 minutes?
Did you see Ben Affleck? I will. Props to all everybody who stuck it out, though. You know, it was kind of like, it was a full house. They stuck it out. 20 minutes of stoppage. That's a lot.
Yeah, they were all on their cellular devices. I'm sure there's great Wi-Fi in Staples Center. But
there is not.
Or not Staples Center anymore, whatever it's
Crypto.
Called.
Crypto.com, whatever.
Crypto.com. But I think that the moral of the story is we love the fact that we have more information than ever and can turn things around quicker in terms of challenges, in terms of reviewing, in terms of stoppage, but we got to be more crisp, more efficient with everybody's time, especially with our players. With 20 minutes of stoppage is a lot on the body when you are like over 30 and you have to try to like get warmed up again and go compete.
And usually they bring out like a second clock, but that didn't happen this time. You know, like if the clock is broken, they'll bring out the clock, but what they, it just, it didn't, that didn't happen. And then they started to tell like the in arena guy to use a stopwatch. And then, you know,
That happened to us before. And it's very difficult in those cases because you're used to looking up and seeing the shot clock. Then it's not there. You're like, where is it? What's the time? But more of the story is we have to do better as a league. And we will, because this is the best league in sports.
And do you guys hear that? That's president of the Players Association. Entered the chat.
I said we will. Like I got the juice to like make sure that this happens.
Well, look, you're on many phone calls.
Am I?
Yeah, you're on a lot of. Let's keep it in this officiating zone.
Love our officials.
And talk about just have you noticed a change in the officiating? And the impact on the offense? Because obviously there, you know, when like multiple people are scoring 70 points and, you know, 15 instances of players scoring 50 plus points this season. We heard, you know, Adam Silver kind of talk about that not being ideal around All-Star break. And
then the change happened, huh?
It's weird.
You don't find that strange that a change happened right after he said that?
So what are you feeling? And, you know, I know you kind of talked to Joe and Monty a bunch, Monty McCutcheon. So anything that you can share insight-wise?
I'm just looking at some numbers here. And, of course, another bag. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Out of our last 10 games, let me make sure this is right, starting on what date? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I've gone to the free throw line 5 times in our last 7 games, and I had a stretch of 1, 2, 3 games in a row where I had 0 free throw attempts for the entire game. And I think for us as players, we've noticed a difference in how the games are being officiated. A lot more physicality is being accepted and allowed, not calling as many shooting fouls. You're not getting the bonuses quickly. And I would say that it's getting closer to how the playoffs is played and called. But I think the thing that we've talked about historically is, as players, we notice a difference in how the regular season is called and how the playoffs is called. You're able to get away with more of the physicality. Obviously, it's more of a half-court game. It's less transition, less free-flowing in terms of the offense. Like, guys not just letting you walk around. Like, everybody's trying to, like, stop your movement, impede your movement. There's an emphasis on hitting first. Like, right? Like, you know, you got to get off to a good start. You got to hit first. You got to be the aggressor. So everybody's just aggressive. And the refs don't want to call everything. So they kind of let you play. They call what they have to. I think we're getting back towards that now as we gear up and get closer, 15 games away from the playoffs. I think a part of it is a lot of fans, a lot of basketball lovers complained about how we don't play defense. The game is too free. Mm-hmm. We need to go back to the 90s. We need hand checking. We need to do this. We need to do that. Guys are right. So skilled. We need to push back to 3-point line. Oh, these guys could have never made it in the 90s or 80s. To now, the free throws are a lot more similar to what we've seen historically with the game of basketball, to where mm-hmm. they just kind of letting you play. And I'll use an example, and this is how you know I'm not biased. The Cavs were whooping our ass, right, at home. They were just, you know, mollywopping us, you know, up about 8-10 the whole game. Then they went on a run and got up by like 19-20. And they didn't shoot a free throw until the fourth quarter. We're a top 10 defense. I think we're like fifth right now. Really good defensively, great in the half court, you know, improving in transition, got a lot of switchable wings. JV's done a great job of continuing to protect the basket for us. Herb is obviously first team all defense. B.I., Z have improved. I've improved defensively. And then our bench unit, Larry, Jose, Najee, I'm probably forgetting somebody. Oh, Trey Murphy. They all have been great defensively, especially lately. I think we're number one or number two defensively the last 10 games. We're great defensively. There's no way we went 3 quarters without fouling anybody on a shooting foul. No way. And for that to happen just kind of shows you that they are allowing us to play, which is great. And I think they've been consistent across the board lately, where they're just like, yo, mm-mm. You look like you was trying to get a foul there. Nah, I'm not going for it. And I don't have no problems with the game being caught like that. I just want it to be like that consistently. I think sometimes we go through ebbs and flows where there's lots of fouls that, like, yo, what are we doing? Yeah. Like, let us be physical. And then it's like, no fouls. Like, where's the happy medium? I don't know. But I just think whatever they're going to do, just do it like that every night. Just be consistent with it so that we can get ready for it mentally. Like, okay, I know, like, I can't hand check or I can't hand check. Oh, at the rim, there's really not going to be no fouls unless they smack you in your arm. Like, and it's obvious. It's really not going to be no fouls. They're not calling nobody. They're not calling stuff off of screens. You can be physical. You can get into the ball. That'll be helpful for our players. And I think and I hope that they're getting more towards that for the rest of the year and beyond.
Yeah. I mean, you're on the court and you're feeling it. I'm sure there's frustrations of wanting to get more calls, but do you feel like the product has been better as a fan?
I think better is all relative. I think the games were competitive. Even when we were scoring 130 points, they were competitive games. I think for me as a player, I like watching certain teams in the Eastern Conference, certain teams in the West. But, like, who wants to watch an 80-85? I don't know that I want to watch that. I love the quality of basketball. I love watching European basketball. They move the ball. They defend at a high level. There's thought behind plays, thought behind execution. There's skill. But I think for me, fouls being called or not doesn't dictate the game. I hate when people are foul baiting and stuff like that, because that's just junking the game up. But if you can score, you can score. Like, if you're going to go get 30 a night, like, you're going to go get 30 a night whether they call fouls or not. Like, I just had 30 on no free throws. Like, you're going to figure out how to score. But I think it's just more like the quality of game. And New York's a great defensive team, especially when OG plays, and they hold teams under 100 all the time. And it could be a good game, when they score over 100, it could be a bad game. It just really depends on the quality of basketball. So I think guys are playing hard, and I think we're getting close to the playoffs. So
yeah,
all games matter, but now they really matter because you can kind of see like, okay, if we win 10 out of these last 15, like we're guaranteed. You know what I mean? You can kind of like start doing the finger math on like, okay, if this works out this way, we're straight. But in the beginning of the season, you're just hooping. Like, all right, we got so much time left, we'll figure it out. Now you know, like, the Suns know, like, they lose too many games. The Lakers know, you lose too many games, you end up playing for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd be interested to see how it carries over into the playoffs, obviously, with the game kind of slowing down and it being matchup-based, and there's, you know, a lot more emotion involved in each game as it builds throughout the series. But, you know, I think the NBA does a good job of listening to fans and criticisms and acting quickly, and, like, we'll see if it's an overcorrect, but... you know, there was something that needed to be kind of addressed, and it seems like it has been, but we'll see how only time will tell.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're running out on a little bit of time here, but I want to finish with the Pelican brief. You already made mention the fact that you guys, you know, are close to hanging the Southwest Division title the first time since 2008. Hang the banner soon.
Banners.
But another story that came out was about your teammate Zion Williamson. Obviously, his body is always a topic of conversation for people. You know, when you have such a unique frame with him and his injury history, it just continues to be front of mind for people. Brian Windhorst, recently was talking about how Zion has lost 25 pounds since the in-season tournament. And he said that he had been talking to a few people around the team that he's, you know, lost 25, and it's not just about like adding muscle. And you know, I could say I've talked to people around the team, and that person is you. How do you feel? Like, sources say, what do the sources say about?
I don't know what he's weighing. I can't comment on any of that stuff. I love how politically correct you were just now about everything, like the way you described the body and uniqueness to it and injuries. You were so thoughtful with your approach, and I appreciate that because more people should be like that in general. But he's been doing great. I think you can see it in his play, obviously, the confidence, the comfort, the conditioning, wanting to guard Kawhi, playing a quarter straight the second night of a back-to-back, high usage, still being able to make sound decisions, finishing around the basket, making his free throws, blocking shots. The tempo, I think he pushed the ball 3.5 seconds in traffic and finished in a crowd, which really shows you the explosiveness. But I think it was about stacking his good days. We talk about it all the time. Stack your good days in a row. Don't worry about the games. Don't worry about the pressure. Don't worry about your greatness. Stack great days consistently. Stack great days mentally. Stack great days physically with your conditioning. On court work, get your 15 to 20 minutes in. He's on the bike every day after practice. He's taking care of his body. He's on the training table.
Does he look skinnier to you, CJ?
Boy, ripped up like a potato chip, man. He looked good, man. And I think more importantly, he feels good and he's in a really great space. He had a long summer. He had a long summer where he was criticized. He was in the media a lot for a lot of different reasons. And I'm going to smile as I say that because I smile in front of him all the time when I say that. But I think he's responded well to some adversity. And I say it all the time, you got two ways you can respond to adversity. You can fold and crumble or you can rise to the occasion. I think he's rising to the occasion and really taking a hold of his greatness. Like you gotta own your greatness, and then you gotta put the work in every day. That's your job. That's your responsibility, is to get the most out of your talents. And I told him when I first got here, I just want to see y'all get the most out of y'all talent, man. That's it. I don't need nothing else. I don't want nothing else. Obviously, I want to win a championship and win games, but I did myself a disservice if I'm not helping y'all get to another level, not just on the court, but off the court and as men. And I think they're getting to that point collectively, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm biased because I'm around it all the time, but I think the NBA is the hardest league to make it. Just in terms of there's not a lot of spots and the talent level is so high. And so I always think that the things that separate players is poise and how you handle adversity. Because, you know, this league can replace you in a second because the talent is rolling in. So I think people, as much as they, whatever you want to call it, hate, criticize Zion, it's because they see the greatness in him and they, you know, they want, like, it's almost a backhanded compliment. Like you're wanting to see his greatness on the stage. So you're rooting for him to put himself in the best position in order to achieve that. And so, you know, we'll see. The greatness is, you know, really measured in the playoffs, and you, B.I. and Z, that pressure is on your back as you got, you know, your fans are hoping to make a deep playoff run. Lastly, do you fill out March Madness brackets?
So I normally do. I got till Wednesday, right? Wednesday's the plans. I'll fill one out on ESPN, and I got some with the homies.
Okay, good.
I'll
the company too. Man.
Yeah.
Company
man. Yeah. You know, okay. shout out to the worldwide leader in sports.
Wait, is Lehigh in it? Or I don't.
Are you trying
know.
To be funny? No, we lost in the championship. We did.
Okay, I'm not trying to be funny. I don't. People don't come for me when you know the last episode where I was like, name a college basketball player. I wasn't trying to be funny.
You don't really watch college at all.
No. No, so I will be introduced to a lot of people during this tournament because I like the stories, and it's, you know, it's a fun sporting event to kind of take part in.
Fun so, fact for you.
Yes.
Fun facts. USC, number one seed for women's. Mm-hmm. South Carolina, number one seed for women's.
Yes.
Iowa. Number one seed for women's, mm-hmm. And I don't know who the fourth is, but I was watching last night because I'm going to do a women's bracket too, and I can't wait to watch.
Oh yeah,
Juju and
yes,
Clark and LSU, the Bayou Barbie. I can't wait to watch. And ironically, the young lady who transferred to LSU has a potential matchup against Louisville if they win the first round. Van, Oval. What's her name? Van.
Oh, name? Right.
She got game too.
This is not the women's college basketball preview you guys are looking for, but yeah. Maybe it's the one you need.
It's definitely the one they need, for sure.
No, I am all in on the women's tournament. I think the ratings are going to be insane for that tournament. And I know who you're talking about. I don't remember her name.
Now I gotta look
her
up.
She wears the
pony?
The pigtail braids.
Van Haley. Her name is Haley.
Hey, yes, there you go. Oh,
Jesus.
There you go.
Yeah. It's time to go to bed.
That's how you know we're old too, because she's her NIL deals are like insane as well. Anyway, gonna fill out both brackets. We'll see. Maybe we should do one for the show.
We should.
Okay.
We should do that. Let's do that.
But bottom line, I'm going in completely blind on the men's side and just like partially blind on the women's side.
I've watched two college games in the last 2 years, and they were South Carolina because my young boy Michi Johnson goes there.
So there you go.
I don't know anything.
I'm just here for a good time, you know?
Not a long time.
And on that note, have a good night. Talk to you guys next week. Peace.